A few weeks ago, our staff took a day-long retreat to talk about the priorities we had for the year ahead. We spent most of the day talking about what we want to do in the upcoming year, things we want to change, things we want to improve. You see, unless we stop to look in the mirror, it's so easy to keep doing the same thing that we've always done over and over and over again. We say things like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You see, all of us get into patterns in our lives. We have sort of an autopilot system that's so easy to take over our actions and our decisions. In other words, if there are areas in our lives that we want to see change or improve, we need to intentionally get out of our ruts, to break out of our patterns, to turn off our autopilot. This staff retreat that we took was meant to interrupt the status quo. It was meant to interrupt our autopilot thinking. And I think that for all of us, we need to have moments that interrupt our lives and force us to look at where we're going. Socrates famously said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." But how many of us are willing to let ourselves be interrupted, to allow ourselves to stop in the middle of our busy lives, examine where we spend our time and what's most important and where we're going? When you look at the Bible, what you see again and again is that it is filled with not only interruptions, but holy interruptions, interruptions where God is in the midst. One of the dangers of how you and I can read the Bible sometimes is we can think of it as being so spiritual that it becomes completely disconnected from reality. We can begin to imagine Jesus, for example, as someone who was totally removed from the human experience. Jesus as someone who's totally unrelatable. But one of our fundamental Christian claims is that Jesus was not only fully divine, but Jesus was also fully human. This means that Jesus felt the pressures and the stresses and the anxieties that all of us feel. So I've got a question for you. Who here has managed a team of people or managed staff before? You don't have to answer out loud. Who here has managed teams of volunteers before? If you haven't, I promise it's infinitely more difficult. Jesus, in the Bible, had 12 direct reports, all of whom were full-time volunteers. And then there was this whole other team of people who were vying for his attention, sort of on the periphery, who wanted to talk to him. At the beginning of the fifth chapter of Mark's gospel, Jesus made a quick trip across the Sea of Galilee. I think it was sort of a spiritual retreat, maybe a weekend to get away, some R&R. But Jesus couldn't remain there. He had a lot on his plate. He was busy. He had staff to manage. He had things to do. So in today's reading, after this long weekend, after this R&R, Jesus sailed west back across the Sea of Galilee to get back to work, to get stuff done. I spent the last week or a little more representing the Diocese of Florida at our church's National General Convention, the equivalent of the U.S. Congress. It meets once every 3 years. General Convention addresses big issues that we're facing, kind of budgetary questions and theological questions and questions of administration and priorities. We elected a new presiding bishop, Sean Rowe, at this General Convention. And while General Convention was a great experience, if I'm being really honest, when I flew back to Jacksonville yesterday, I was a little stressed about all the work that I felt I had to catch up on. Jesus, when he sailed west across the Sea of Galilee to get back to work, I imagine he also was aware of all the work he had to do. I imagine for almost all of us in this room, when you get up tomorrow, you will be very aware of the projects and the priorities that you have, the work that you want to get done in the week ahead. Now, Mark's gospel doesn't tell us exactly where Jesus sailed to when he crossed the Sea of Galilee, but Matthew's gospel that records this same event says that he went to the city of Capernaum. Capernaum is a city where Jesus did a lot of work. He taught in Capernaum. He performed many of his miracles in Capernaum. It was in Capernaum that he called Peter and Andrew and Matthew. Capernaum was a place of work for Jesus. And when he was about to finally return to his work, his plans, we read in our gospel passage today, were abruptly interrupted. You know, we see this pattern again and again in the Bible. God interrupts us in the middle of our busy lives. Moses had fled from Egypt and become a shepherd, but God interrupted him, calling him back to lead the Israelites out of slavery. Or Gideon was a humble farmer, the lowliest member of his family. He spent his days behind a plow when God interrupted his life and called him to lead the Israelites to defeat the Midianites. Or Amos was a shepherd and a fig farmer when God interrupted his life and called him to be a prophet. Or Mary was a young unmarried woman in a small town when God interrupted her life, telling her that she would bear Jesus Christ. Again and again, God interrupts the lives of those in the Bible. And God does this with us also. Socrates said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." I would say that life on autopilot leaves us oblivious to these holy interruptions that God places in our lives. So Jesus sailed west across the Sea of Galilee, back to Capernaum from his sort of weekend retreat, his R&R. Jesus had an agenda. He had things to do. And then in the passage we hear this morning, we're told, one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So Jesus went with him. Imagine this from Jesus's perspective, throwing out the agenda, throwing out the to-do list. Jesus, his plans were being interrupted, but he responds to this holy interruption. Jesus leaves Capernaum and he begins to travel with Jairus. His plans for the day and the week would have to wait. His to-do list was now on the back burner, but the work he was being asked to do was not only important, but also urgent. He was going to save a girl's life who we read was at the point of death. As Jesus and Jairus were walking, the crowd was pressing in. They wanted to get close and see what Jesus was going to do. And in that crowd, there was a woman who'd had a bleeding disorder for a dozen years. She'd heard about Jesus and his miracles. She didn't want to bother him. She didn't want to interrupt him in the middle of his mission. So she came up behind him and simply touched his cloak. And immediately, we read, she was healed. Jesus, at this point, could have kept on going. As a matter of fact, I think that would probably have been the most efficient response. There was no need for him to stop. After all, we're told that the woman was already healed. But Jesus knew that he was being interrupted. Jesus, who was in the middle of an interruption already, going to heal Jairus' daughter, was now interrupted again. So he stopped and he asked, "Who touched my clothes?" And the Bible tells us that the woman came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. Jesus had this busy schedule. He was on his way to do something important, and yet he paused. This interruption was an invitation to serve God's people and to make sure this woman knew that she was a beloved child of God. So Jesus looked at her and said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Go in peace. think so many of us are so good at making excuses for why we are too busy to respond to whatever need is in front of us. We worry about the interruptions and the time they could waste in our lives and the deadlines we could miss. But here's my question. Don't you think Jesus could have said the same thing? Don't you think Jesus could have made an excuse to avoid this interruption? After all, we read that while Jesus was speaking with this woman, people came from the house of Jairus to announce that Jairus' daughter had died. Had Jesus messed up? If he hadn't stopped to talk to this woman, would he have been able to get there in time to save this girl? Jesus was told that there was now no need to go to Jairus' house. His daughter was already dead, but Jesus went anyway, and he said, "Little girl, get up." And miraculously, this 12-year-old did. You see, despite the interruptions, and maybe even because of the interruptions, Jesus showed care and compassion and love. Jesus set aside his own priorities to respond to God's call, to this holy interruption. I wonder how many of us would be willing to do the same. Are we willing to slow down enough or stop when called and examine where we're going? Are we willing to remember Socrates' proclamation that an unexamined life isn't worth living? Are we willing to look for meaning in the moments that at first appear to simply be distractions? In other words, can we acknowledge that when someone comes into our life, when something calls us to pause or to change course, that might be a holy interruption? In 1993, Greg Mertenzo, an American mountain climber, was attempting to climb to the summit of K2 in Pakistan, the world's second highest peak. After failing to reach the summit, Greg got lost on his descent down the mountain. He stumbled completely exhausted into the very small, remote village of Corfe. Despite the poverty of this village, he was welcomed with open arms and cared for by the villagers, who showed him incredible hospitality. After regaining some strength, Greg began to explore the village, and he noticed some children who were writing in the sticks or in the dirt with sticks. He thought, how cute is that? And then he realized they were writing in the dirt with sticks because they didn't have pens and they didn't have paper and they didn't have a place to learn. Greg, in that moment, could have chuckled and patted the children on the head and continued down the mountain and gone back to his career, his vocation as a mountain climber. However, something in that moment captured his attention. This moment, these children interrupted his life. And he made a promise. He told the little children that he would come back and he would help them build a school. So Greg returned to the United States and he worked tirelessly and he sold his possessions and he slept in his car as he tried to gather the funds to build a school. Eventually, with the support of donors and volunteers, he went back to this village of Corfe and he built the village's first school. You see, for you and me, when someone tries to interrupt our plans, I think we're often reluctant to respond because we think this will be a distraction that will diminish our lives or pull us away from what's important. But what the story of Jesus healing first this woman who had this bleeding disorder for 12 years, and then this 12-year-old girl, it shows us that when we allow ourselves to be interrupted, our lives can become even more rich, even more meaningful, have even more purpose. That's exactly what happened to Greg Mertenzo. After building this first school in Corfe, he saw an even bigger need, and he went on to establish many schools throughout this remote and dangerous region between Pakistan and Afghanistan. He founded a nonprofit called the Central Asia Institute, which not only provided education for thousands of children, but had a particular focus on providing education for young girls who oftentimes were denied education elsewhere. He helped create a foundation for little glimmers of peace and stability in this conflict-ridden portion of the world. You see, Greg's journey from a mountaineer to a humanitarian is such a powerful reminder that these moments that come into our lives that appear to be inconsequential really may be an invitation to accept an interruption that could transform our lives. You see, when Jesus was doing this important work of building up the kingdom of God, he allowed himself to be interrupted. And because he did this, he changed the life of this woman who'd had a bleeding disorder for 12 years. He gave new life to this little girl, maybe allowing her to grow up and spend time with her friends. He gave new hope to her father, Jairus, who now may have been able to see his daughter get married or have children, his grandchildren, someday. You see, for us, for you and me, we need to look at the moments in our lives that appear to be interruptions and remember that they may be holy interruptions, interruptions that can bring us joy and purpose, interruptions that can help us build up God's kingdom, interruptions through which we can show God's love to our neighbors. This week, will you look for the holy interruptions in your life? Amen.